mood disorders, and feeling valuable. Now, today, if you study or watch what's going on around the world, there is an explosion of new emotional disorders, mood disorders, social disorders. They've got new names we've never heard before. Like, I never even heard of the thing narcissism until a couple of years ago. Years before that, they'd talk about codependent. I never understood what codependent mean. Today, we've got borderline disorder and all these new terms. And if you don't keep up on all the terms, you don't even know what you're talking about. Here's what's going on. Hundreds of new emotional disorders, mental disorders, struggles in relationships and in families. It is like it is exploding in North America. We've got psychologists, psychiatrists, as never before, wonderful men and women who usually see the need and want to learn and help people. But we know through stats today, the most counseled profession are the counselors. The world doesn't know what to do. I know personally some of the most amazing psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, and have interviewed some of the best ones from around the world. And they always tell me that we can identify, categorize, look for patterns, and give a name to certain things, but very little seems to be able to be done about it, except maybe a little bit of behavior modification, or drugs to kind of dampen the high levels of stress and emotion. Neither have lasting relief. In fact, behavior modification gives you relief, but not freedom. So if you'll listen today, I want to help you on a purely biblical thing that the Bible says that we need to understand. So let me just dive into this. We're going to talk a little bit about love. Now, a truly confident person who is walking in love is flexible and adaptable in relationships. Whenever you've got someone who can't adapt to changing seasons, things going on, they have to have it their way every time, it's got to be this way, you've got a truly immature person when it comes to love, and they won't know how to have very many relationships that work. We have a term that we use called codependent. It came out years ago simply meaning that if you were married or living with a person with an addiction, that you trying to look after them and cover up their messes and help this family make it and exist in the midst of their addiction, that your life changed as you begin to caretake them and look after them and minimize the damage. And so we begin to call that person and that family codependent, because the addiction was not just changing the lives of the addict, it was totally changing the lives of the spouse and of the kids, and changing even how they grew up and how they were able to function. Today, the word codependent, it's got pages of description. One of the best ones, I think, is any person who is looking for something outside of themselves and expecting another person to give it to them instead of finding it within themselves in Christ is codependent. You are depending on someone outside of you to give you your significance, to give you your value, to make you feel special, important, loved, etc. And it truly is an awful way to live, because you're handing your self-worth, you're handing your emotional stability to somebody or to some group of people. To be able to give love properly in your marriage, I would say that when you go through this entire room, you all need to know the number one need you have is to feel loved, to know your love. Now, let's change the word love, because it's too broad a term in the English language. To know you are valuable, to know you are valued. If you do not have that, if you do not know that and then experience that, listen to me close, you will not love the people in your life properly. You will not be able to love the people around you, your children, your spouse. And today, I'm telling you, marriages as never before just seem to be so messed up as people are focusing on the wrong things. When we experience the love of God, we then are able to love with that love. So today, as I go through some things, I'm going to go through a lot of content as much as I can. And rather than just dwell on each one and talk, I'm going to hope that you'll pick up some resources. Now, meditation is a key in your life, but we don't understand meditation. We think meditation is this. But meditation is what you focus on and what you hold in your mind. You see, whatever you hold in your thoughts is what you experience in the moment. We respond to the people in our lives, usually incorrectly, because if we are experiencing or focusing on hurt, heartache, low self-worth, you know, our past, then in the now, right now, as we're trying to grow our relationships and raise our kids, we won't function correctly around them. We won't love them with a true agape love. How whatever we choose to dwell on is how we experience the world. Let me say that again. Everyone thinks you experience the world correctly. No, you experience the world, the people around you, based on what you focus on and what your mind dwells on. Now that goes super deep, and that can just be simple, like I don't fit in and I'm not as smart as everybody else. That thought and dwelling on that thought has an impact on every relationship and everywhere you go, because you won't let go of that thinking and that belief. Therefore, every relationship that you've got is tainted by your choosing to dwell on these thoughts, these experiences, these backgrounds of your life. One of the keys to the Christian life is heart beliefs. I haven't got time to go through it. There's a great series out there called Dealing with Your BS, and it means belief systems. And that's available at the kiosks, where there the Bible says that you can move mountains if you don't doubt in your heart, not your head. What we believe at the heart level is literally controlling every relationship. It's controlling how you feel. It's controlling how you experience people. You don't experience people the way they're trying to show you and love you and deal with you. You experience people through your own beliefs. Therefore, it's crucial that your beliefs are founded in the Word of God and correct. That's why you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not the truth about the person you're looking at, the truth about you, your heart, God's Word, etc. All of us have patterns, thinking patterns, loving patterns. You know, I'm not good at this, but let me, for those who are electricians here, we know that if you're going to wire something up, they will give you an electrical schematic. Now, that electrical schematic shows you how electricity runs through this system, where the switches are and where it goes through the lights, and then it goes over to here to that light, and if they throw that switch, you know, what is it? So it's a schematic, and the second that switch is thrown on, bam, the power always does exactly the same thing. Pew, and that light comes on. It doesn't change. And there are schematics that have been wired into your heart on how you handle people, what you believe about love, what you believe about the opposite sex, what you believe about them, what you believe about God. And so these wrong heart beliefs have written a schematic on your heart. And every time you step into a situation with your spouse, your kids, and you wonder why certain emotions rise up every time, that schematic has been superimposed on your heart, which is the very core beliefs of who you are. And so how you respond to your spouse, how you respond to your children, to the friends that are around you. Some of you don't have any friends. Some of you can't seem to make a relationship work, maybe a marriage work, and you are very good at judging and finding fault with others. Recognize this, you cannot change others. So you must always work on yourself. Now, when you change, everything around you changes. Heart beliefs are developed in our lives before we even consciously can choose our beliefs. In fact, when it comes to loving, your parents' marriage is the greatest schematic that is superimposed on your heart. And so how your dad handled love, anger, how he handled hugging, how he handled any of these things, how your mom handled things, emotions, was she set off? Were they quick to get angry? Were they grumpy and moody all the time? What was the tension like in the home? These things are a schematic, if I could put it this way, that is superimposed on the hearts of your children. And so when a situation arises and that switch is flipped, they're in this situation, it's just instantaneous that emotions arise in this direction. For one, it is joy and laughter. For the other, it is anger and feeling used and abused. The same situation, because it depends upon what's written on your heart. The Bible talks about God's word will write on your heart the proper beliefs. And so many of the married couples who get married don't realize you have different schematics. You have different beliefs. That when you come into a situation where you both have an association, whether it's love, whether it's sex, whether it's intimacy, whether it's value, whether it's joking around can be a huge one. One totally feels devalued and another person just loves it and thinks you're amazing. But when that switch is flipped, whatever the situation is, both, bam, always go on the same schematic. And so you are doomed to experience for the rest of your life whatever is written on your heart, which can make marriages hell, can make families hell, if we don't recognize the world doesn't have an answer. Now, they'll bunch it together and say that, you know, you are a sociopath, you don't want to be with people. They'll look at you and say, well, you've got your borderline this, and well, you're a narcissist, no one should ever touch you. All they can do is really organize this and help you as you're choosing and how to handle each other. But God has a different way. The Bible says that Holy Spirit can change the very beliefs of your heart. He can touch you at such a deep level that rather than just having behavior modification, that something deeper takes place. You see, love to be valued is the deepest human need. And until we have established our hearts in God's love, we will continue to follow the patterns that have been impressed upon us growing up. God's love is a love that you do not have to earn. God's love is a love that is freely yours regardless of your behavior. But toxic love is a love that is conditional. Now, we think that children who were raised in abusive families are the only ones who have really had to deal with pain and rejection. But that's not true. There are people who are raised in seemingly beautiful families with good-looking parents who gave them all that they wanted and seemed to do everything right. But hidden in there is toxic love, where that boy had to earn every hug, that little girl had to earn through behavior a sense of being loved and valued. And they would even use devaluing them, thinking that's the way to raise a child. And so when that happens, the beliefs that are written on their heart are ones of always having to earn love. So when you come into a marriage, it's hard to believe that somebody can love you with not a toxic love, but with an unconditional love. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a sap. That doesn't mean you're naive. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. Jesus walked completely in God's love, and did anybody take advantage of him? Not a chance. Did he confront people? On the spot. Peter, get the behind me, Satan. You guys are sons of thunder. You know what you're talking about. Bam, bam, bam. He had no problem confronting and dealing with people. But he wouldn't deal with their dignity and their worth. So many relationships, especially marriages today, will attack the dignity and the worth of the spouse, thinking you can get them to change if you attack as core as you can. But when you touch dignity and worth, you touch what only God should touch, and you destroy the relationship. You touch the dignity and worth of your child, and you attack that. You little liar, don't you dare. You know, he's not a liar. He has lied, and you will help him through this situation. But his identity is not liar. And none of us often have been trained this way. And so we've got, if you want to talk about dysfunction, we've got people who are raised in seemingly wonderful families even, that a sense of rejection is so powerful. Some of the greatest counselors today will tell you that it's not if you were rejected, if it's you feel rejected. It's your perceptions. This world is a crazy, mixed up world. We've got to go back to God's Word. You know, if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, it talks there about praying for God's power in your inner man. But then it says how you're going to get it. You're going to get it by knowing the love of God. Listen to me. You have no hope on this planet of functioning normally, of reading people accurately, of living out your life and seeing generations of your family name move on until you deal with your own stuff. Until you know that God loves you, and then you experience the love of God, because the love that your spouse needs has to come from God, but it can come from you, but you can't give it till you've got it. I'm going to read you a portion of scripture in closing that when you hear this message, then you read the scripture, it just comes alive. You see, any information that you receive during times of strong emotion, quickly form associations and build on your heart those schematics that I'm talking about. And so if you go back in your past and you think of a time when you were really embarrassed and then something was said and done, or you made a judgment on yourself, and you'll never forget that moment because there's such high emotion. It was embarrassing. It was an angry time. It was a betrayal time. And then you thought things through and you came to a judgment, or someone said words. And these things, they control us. Today, every one of us, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we need a complete change in the way we think. We need to learn to control this mind, and then we need to learn to get God's Word to put within our hearts new controls, beliefs. Because your heart is the beliefs that all function around your identity, who you are. And this is where you struggle. That's why you say, well, I just don't feel love that I've been trying to teach my spouse. No, your spouse can't give you that love. You're looking outside of yourself to meet a need that you got to recognize. So we'll say, well, Pastor, I didn't get married to meet all. No, I understand that. And as you learn to love with God's love, friendship and romance and passion, all of these things, they begin to flow and come together in a powerful way. But the very basis of you not being this codependent, messed up person who's struggling with every relationship and dealing with it incorrectly is for you to, first of all, find what God says in His Word about love. Where do you find that? Well, the Bible teaches us this, and I'm going to just say a couple things and move on for time's sake, but in the world, we are trying to control people's behavior. And that's important. Control your driving behavior. Control your behavior when you're angry. Control your behavior. And that's why when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to drugs, when it comes to anything that messes with your mind, you're foolish to get engaged with any of that if you can't control that. Okay, I understand that we use prescription drugs. I understand that some of you might drink socially here and there. But I've seen so much heartache. Me personally, I refuse to, because I want my mind to be crystal clear all the time. You see, Behavior modification is important for the people around you so you don't hurt them. But for you as a person, it doesn't do a thing for you, because that rage and that strong emotion is still in that heart and you're trying to quieten it. There's no real true freedom. So the Bible teaches root and fruit. All right, see this table right here? They just give me a bigger, I don't know if they're going to give me a shot of the table. Down here, you got this little circle. And let's just call that, this is a plant. That's the roots. Right there, and this is the tree, all right? So when fruit appears on a tree, you can think, this is bad fruit, I don't want, and just start picking it off. But what happens in the spring? It all comes back, and you're picking off the fruit again. This fruit is the behavior. This fruit is the symptom. Behaviors are just symptoms of something deeper. Now, if I take an axe and I cut through that root, all this fruit just dries up and falls off, and everything changes. So the Bible teaches us in the area of our emotions, in the area of faith, love, all these incredible areas that dominate our lives, root and fruit. You go ahead and try to change the fruit, which is the behavior and the results of your life, and you'll spend the rest of your life fighting with yourself and others. But you learn to go after the root, and the fruit will change to beautiful joy, love, peace, romance, all that God would call you to. So fruit is the dysfunctional behavior that we show the world. But the root is the true belief that is giving you that fruit. Every one of your emotions, moods, problems, depressions are going to come predominantly from a root of belief. Now, we know there are other things, brain tumors, sicknesses that can affect the brain as a physical organ. That's not what we're talking about today. We're simply talking about the things that we need to look at in the Word. Colossians 2:10 has an astounding statement. It says, "We are complete in Him." Don't ever say your wife completes you. You'll destroy your life. Don't ever say your husband completes you. You'll destroy your life. Don't ever say your kids complete you. Your family completes you. The Word does not say that anywhere. It says you are complete in Him. And once you find that completeness, you are then in an amazing way able to love people without always having a reason. Well, I'm going to buy her flowers. Hope she's got time tonight. Well, I'm going to go through the ball game, and he's going to find out all the things I just bought yesterday that I hid in my closet, or whatever you are doing, that you've got a reason to everything. It's not a free-flowing love that makes you just love that person without a reason for it. All right, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love springs from God, and he who loves is born of God and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love God's way, everyone loves their way, he who does not love has not become acquainted with God. He does not and never did know him, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested, displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten, unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God loved us so very much, we also ought to love one. My time is up. Read that when you get home, that whole chapter. Closing comment. How do you experience God's love? How can you experience it? Well, you won't until you know it. Where do you learn about God's love? You learn about God's love in the direct teaching, the whole Bible does that, but in the direct specific teaching of the cross. When you understand the cross and that Jesus died in your place, he took sin, he became sickness, he suffered the wrath of God so you'd never have to deal with it. He died. His words that haunt those who love him and begin to understand Jesus is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he took the sin of the world. You will never know and love Jesus till you begin to study the word about what he did from the cross to the throne. And when you realize his love, then you begin to talk to him, you now can begin to experience it. See, you have to believe it, then you experience it. If you don't believe your spouse loves you, that spouse can pour love on you and you'll never experience it because you don't believe it. As you study God's word and you read, listen to messages like this. There's a series I told them to get ready. Understanding the cross. And then another one called Authenticity. I just phoned ahead as I was coming in this morning and said, get these two series out there. And anyone that says, I need to go deeper in this, that series Authenticity deals with the three things that helps you to feel significant and valued. And the cross will help you to develop a relationship with Jesus you've never had before. You know, you can raise your hands and worship and cry, but it's just because you had a hard week and you lost a loved one this past month. But are those tears really of loving God or just the pain you're going through in life? So many people have never really loved Jesus. And Jesus changes everything. But if you don't have a relationship with him, then you're just loving with an earthly love that is never enough for any human being. You cannot give what you have not experienced. And so wherever you are, from the oldest grandparent to the youngest teenager. In fact, I'm going to get a hold of that series. I think Aaron put both onto one and put some kind of a deal on to go through this so that as you studied the cross, you'd recognize there's no anger. There's no wrath in God. One of the craziest messes in the churches today, everywhere I travel around the world, is all this crazy teaching about God's going to get you. How that, you know, someone died because God, he just needed to teach you something. Or there's something, you know, everything happens for a reason. What a bunch of junk. No way. That's not even in the Bible. But people develop, and it makes everybody afraid of God. Scared of God. Well, what if he thinks a rape is going to be helpful for our family? Are you kidding me? What if he thinks, you know, that painful cancer on a three-year-old is going to be... Everything's for a reason. That is such hokey pokey. It's not Bible, but we develop this get away from God. Don't get too close to God because the things he's going to do to you to help you make you the person he wants are going to be painful and bankrupt your business and kill your kids and mess with your marriage. All this crazy stuff that's being taught around the world and the people just back away from God. You can't trust God if he's going to be a God like that. Yet God himself is here. And he designed the pleasures of this world, the good ones, the relationships that you need to be fulfilling and beautiful. But most Christians are taught to be serious, religious, and unhappy. And we want to win the world with that kind of a marketing plan. I hope today, if there's one thing I can get across to you, is that you need to begin to believe the love that Jesus has for you. And then you need to begin to experience. If that's all you do the entire year, your whole life will be changed. Every relationship will be changed, not because you were able to change that person, but because you've changed how you look at that person. And you can now enjoy and understand and walk free and blessed, because you can't change people, but you can change you. And as you walk around with the real you, that is, with the love of God, it touches people and it does help them and point them towards a place where they can change. Ephesians 3, if you want to know true power in your life, you must know the love of God that passes understanding. Its depth, its height, its width. And you must know his love for you. And then you must learn to sense. Once you believe it, you can begin to sense it. Because if you don't, You will judge everybody incorrectly. You'll superimpose your parents' schematic that you're messing with right now, or grandparents, and you will go through life so messed up, wondering why isn't there more? I just feel so lonely. I don't feel complete. I don't feel my marriage is anything I dreamed about. I didn't feel family even fulfilled what I thought family would do. And we just get so messed up. Get back to God loving you. Get back to being complete in Him, loved by Him. And then just go walk in love and let God be God in their lives. Stop trying to manipulate people. Stop trying to dominate people. Stop trying to fix people. Stop trying to take the sliver out of their eyes. Just stop judging. And I'm telling you, there's a love and a peace that'll change you from the inside out. Father, I pray right now that this message will touch every person here. I pray that as we look at relationships this month, that Lord, these core beliefs will help us to break free, because there's power in the Word of God. There's power in turning to Jesus. It's not just mental, behavioral changes. Father, the power of God heals broken hearts. The power of God, Father, enlightens us. The power of God changes us. The power of God helps us renew our minds. And Father, we need your power. And we're following you, Jesus, and we're going to know and we're going to experience your love in Jesus' name. Every head bowed for just a moment. I want to close my message down with a prayer of getting right with God. Giving your life to God. Maybe you've never done it or you're not sure. And so in all the other campuses right now, there's a leader that's at the front of that stage. And before I pray, and we all pray with them right from our seats, I think it's powerful for you. If you say, Leon, I need to give my life to Christ. I need to become a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you've given up so long ago, I need to get right with God. If that's you and you want to be included in this prayer all over the auditorium, just give me a wave. Just wave at me right now. Hands up all over the auditorium. Say, yes, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Others. And right now, I'm going to just wait about 3 seconds. Wave at that leader at the front. And then together, let's pray. Father, let's pray it out loud together. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Because of love, He took my sin, the curse, and the wrath of God. So Jesus, come into my heart. I'm following you for the rest of my days. Help me to know you and to experience your love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.